There we go. Okay. Okay. So Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 says this. Then God said, let us make humans in our image, in our likeness. Okay, repeated there, I assume for emphasis, repeating first, just saying, what a special thing this is for us to make humans in our likeness. Verse 26 goes on to say, let them rule the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the domestic animals over all over the earth, and all the animals that crawl on the earth. And then verse 27, so God created humans in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Now, I don't know whether you, like me, have often thought, what exactly does it mean when it says that we're created in God's image? So I gave that a little bit of thought, a little bit of reading, and this is what I came up with. So it was both an honor and a favor to humans that they were made last. It was an honor that we were made last because God saved the best for last. And I say that without any sense of saying, I'm the best, okay, without bragging in any sort of a way or whatever. But I believe that God made it clear in the Bible that humans were, in fact, the best of his creation. And we were indeed saved for last, so I say the best was saved for last. In my field, science, particularly biology, that's not the way it's presented. Okay, it's presented that we as humans are just the natural extent of all the other animals, that we came from the other animals, that we're more like the other animals, and therefore this idea that we were created in God's image, totally foreign to mainstream science. So I believe that God was making a point here and creating these other things and saving us for last. But it was also a favor to us. Why? Well, you only have to think about where he created us here on earth. And what had he done the previous 5 days? Well, it was a favor for God first designed earth and made it completely fitted and furnished to be the ideal place for us to thrive. Okay? So God was looking after us from the very, very beginning. The language that is used in verse 26, if we compare that with the language that was used earlier in the creation account, it's kind of different, quite different, in fact. Okay, it is actually much more personal than are the earlier statements of creation and of the other items that the other living things that were made at that time. Let's look at the language from earlier and compare that. So other day accounts read, okay, day one, let there be light. Let there be a firmament on day two. And later on, let the earth bring forth living things. Let the ocean bring forth. Okay? Always the word let. As though God is saying, I'm so powerful that I can just speak it, which indeed he was, and just say it casually, almost, as though let. And I have no doubt but that he prepared carefully. I have no doubt that there was careful design here. But nevertheless, the language speaks, let it happen. But when we get to verse 26, the language changes. Okay? So in these accounts, these earlier accounts, God speaks as having authority, which indeed he does. Okay? Let us make man, however, he speaks as one having affection. The words are different. It's not let it happen. It's let us do this great thing. Okay? So, in his Bible commentary, Matthew Henry puts it like this. Now, to give you a little bit of background on this, if you've never seen Matthew Henry's commentary, late 1800s, so the language is a little different from our language today, but nevertheless, very rich in description. So, it should seem as if this were the work which he longed to be at, as if he had said, having at last settled the preliminaries being, Well, we made the air, we made the light, we made the air, we made the land, we made the plants, the other animals. Having at last settled the preliminaries, let us now apply ourselves to the business, the main business. Let us make man. Henry continues, it is as if he called a council to consider the making of humans. Let us make man. The three persons of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, consult about it, and they agree. They concur. Because man, when he was made, was to be dedicated and devoted to the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Remember what God made us for. He didn't make us merely to exist. He made us to exist in a wonderful place, but then to transcend that, to be friends with God, to worship God, to give God our allegiance, okay? And in doing so, honor God in return for the way that he had honored us. Into that great name, continues Henry, we are with good reason baptized, for to that great name we owe our being. And then he says this, let him rule man who said, let us make man. And indeed, that's what I agree with, okay? Let God rule, because he's the one who will and does rule anyway. And if we recognize that, then we put ourselves right where he wants us to be. So what does it mean to be in God's image? I'm going to make a stab at this, okay? See how it goes. But we were not made, first of all, in the likeness of any other animal. Once again, biology would have us believe that we were. That we were made like the other animals. So therefore, we have organizations that say, who are we to rule, to judge ourselves as somehow better than the other animals? We really are no different, and therefore we should not see ourselves in that way. Well, I think the Bible says things quite different. Okay, so we were not made in the likeness of any other creature, but in the likeness of our Creator. Yet, still between humans and God, there's an infinite distance. And when I say there's an infinite distance, I don't literally mean necessarily in miles, okay? But there's, well, an infinite difference, maybe I should say. And if there's an infinite difference between us, how is it that we are like God? Well, first of all, let's think about some of the difference here. God is, what are some of those words that we use to describe God? Okay, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, right? Omni-all, okay? So all-powerful, all-present. He can be anywhere he wants to at the same time. All-knowing, all-wise. Okay, we're not all any of those things, okay? We're not even all that, okay? Even though sometimes we like to think we are. So being in God's image then, okay, what does that mean? Well, being in God's image consists of several things, and here's the first one that I want to postulate, okay? We're not like God in body. I don't know what God is like in body or if he has a body at all, although the Bible seems to present that, no, other than Jesus coming to earth and taking on human form, okay, God wasn't like us, okay, at all in that regard. But we do have certain characteristics of mind that are like God. And among those, I've chosen these three. Understanding, we have a will, and we have active power. Let me just mention something about the will, because I'm going to kind of look at one aspect of the will only later on. But when I speak of our will, okay, we may desire things. There are certain things that we think are most important. There are certain things that we will seek out. There are certain things that we will do whatever we can to achieve. This is our will, okay? The things that we want to do. Okay, well, let's first of all take a look at understanding. When I say that in his image means that we understand, well, we have the ability to know, we have the ability to evaluate, to comprehend, to understand. There are lots of other words that we could put together for that. But these are traits of God, not the other animals. Okay? So we're in God's image, not the image of the things that may have, in some people's minds, okay, did turn into us more or less through evolution, okay? Secondly, we have a will, but I want to emphasize that we have a free will, okay? So all humans have the ability and the right to choose their own thoughts and belief. And God gave us this right, and he defends this right. In fact, I believe that Jesus came to this earth for several reasons. I think he came to this earth maybe foremost to, well, I won't say that, okay, but a very important reason why he came to this earth is to let us know what God is really like, okay? He came to show us that God is a God of love, and the misconceptions that humans have about who God was were exactly that. And he wanted us to know what he was like. A second reason, of course, that Jesus came to this earth is this one here that I'm presenting, that we have free will. And he wanted to preserve that free will, so he came. And he says, listen, you have a choice, you have a right, even to the extent of rejecting me. Okay? But one of the reasons he came, I believe, is to preserve that right if we choose to accept him or to reject him. Because if we don't have that right, of course, then our acceptance of him wouldn't truly be of ourselves. Okay, it wouldn't truly be out of love. Of course, the third reason Jesus came to this earth was to solve the sin problem and to save us and provide us with salvation. And there it is. But in a sense, all of these things are tied together. Because who is God? He's our creator. He loves us. And of course, when he sees us have this problem where we cannot overcome something, he wants to provide a way. And that's our salvation. We, back to free will, we may be physically restrained. We might even be imprisoned, okay? But our minds are still free to think and believe as we will. And there are many instances, probably stories that you've read, of people who have maybe been held captive or whatever. Nevertheless, in their minds, they still worship. They still are who they're designed to be. But don't make any mistake about this. The devil would have us give up our freedom. He would have us give up our free will. And there's at least two ways that he does that. One of them is to addictions. Okay? Those things that we might become addicted to that change the way our mind works, change the way that we think, and at the very least would distract us from God. But some, you know, drugs, alcohol, at least when directly under the influence, are going to have an effect that keeps you from using your mind fully and the way that it was designed to be used. And in doing so, we give up to the addiction our free will. The second way that the devil would like to do is to confuse us, and to confuse us into thinking that freedom is not really from God. What does he say instead? God is restrictive. God is going to take away your right to have certain pleasures, okay? Don't believe him. Instead, my way is going to give you complete freedom. And he's forgetting that actually his way leads to bondage, but a lot of people don't understand that. It's like a parent. You've heard analogies like this before. Those of you who are parents, I hope, and those of you who will be parents, I hope you do coming up, teach your children not to run into the street without looking for cars, okay? God, in the same way, he gives us freedom, but he sets up certain guidelines. He says, I made you, I know how you work, And as a consequence, I know that there are certain boundaries that you should not cross. And when you do, you actually lose those freedoms or put them in danger. Thirdly, we have active power. Humans, as humans, we can think, we can reason, we can make plans, and then we can carry out those plans. Can have good results as a result of that. Another way of saying that is we have the power to act. And that's a God-given power. We can dream up something. We can have some creative vision of what we would like to make or what we would like to do or what we would like to accomplish. And then we can bring those things to reality. God made us like that. And that's what he's like. So we're in his vision. In his image, I'm sorry. Okay, so back to Genesis 1:26, just reminding the focus here. Then God said, let us make humans in our image, in our likeness. A second way I think that he did that is this. We stand as humans in God's place as authority over the earth and over our own selves. Okay, let us make man in our image, he said. Okay, and we will let them. God is providing us the ability to do this. He's allowing us to do this. Let them rule the fish, the birds, and all the other living creatures. We also have authority over our own freedom. I mentioned this before when I talked about free will. Okay, our governing of the earth and of ourselves through the freedom of our will is just a subset of what God does. He governs the entire universe, and he has authority over us. Thirdly, being in God's image. As originally created, okay? Humans naturally had God's image in terms of purity, righteousness, and true holiness. Now, unfortunately, there were only two of us that were that way, and that was Adam and Eve, okay? But they were originally created to be, in a way, like God, okay? Because God is pure. God is righteous. God is holy. They were upright, and by habit, by their natural tendencies, they conformed their powers to the will of God. Okay? We're no longer fully in God's image in that way. Okay? Much has changed. Our natural tendency to do God's will, when Adam and Eve chose to believe Satan and do what he said rather than to do what God had told them, that changed. Now, please don't think that our being in the image of God entirely has changed. Okay? We still have a lot of things that I mentioned earlier that are still in the image of God. But this sense of moral purity is not anymore our natural tendency. Adam and Eve, and we as their descendants, we have inherited this, okay, became afraid of God. You remember the story? Adam and Eve realize they're naked. They try to cover themselves as best they can. God comes into the Garden of Eden, calling for them, Adam, where are you? And what does he say? He says, oh, we hid. We hid because we were afraid of you. So ever since that time, humans have treated God differently. Okay, we've thought oftentimes as God as being arbitrary or exacting or something like that. And we're fearful of that judgment because we know what we are like. So Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed Satan. Lots of people blame Satan to this day. Okay? I mean, he is ultimately, a major part of that. But we still have that choice. I mean, what does 1 Corinthians 10:13 say? There's no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful who will along at the end, God is faithful who along with the temptation will provide a way to escape it. Okay. So at this time, God puts out this emergency plan. Okay, he had a plan ahead of time. If he's all-knowing, he may very well have known that it was going to need to be used. Okay, but he has this emergency plan that he puts into place to save and to restore humans into our original place of being good rather than being what we are now. So the good news, then, is that God's image is going to be restored in us. If, as Jesus said to Nicodemus that night, okay, you have to be reborn, okay, but if you have been reborn as a Christian, you've begun the restoration process. Yet Paul reminds us in Romans 7:21, something in me keeps me from doing what I know is right. I'm not fully restored to this point. But one chapter later, Romans 8:21, he says this, the whole creation will someday be set free from its bondage to decay and will share in the freedom of the glory of the children of God. I love that statement, bondage to decay. That's what the earth is. It's breaking down. It's wearing out. We die, we decay. Okay? But that last part, that's pretty strong language. We will share in the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Us with glory? Well, that's what it means to have a glorified renewal when Jesus returns, right? So Paul is talking about who? You and me. When he says, glorious and free. Okay? Fully restored in the image of God through what Jesus has done for us. And for that, I say amen. A couple verses later, Paul says this. Who then can separate us from the love of Christ? Trouble? Hardship? Death? No. Over all these things, we have complete victory through him who loved us. For I am certain that nothing can separate us from his love. So, after this, I was able to turn to my student and say, how can you be a pessimist over that? We have so much to be optimistic for, okay? God created us in his image. We may have stepped away from that, but he's going to restore us to that image. So praise be to God. Thanks be to God for what he has done for us. So at this time, I would love to hear from some of you. If some of you have a testimony that you would like to give in praising God, something that God has done for you, something you look forward to God doing for you. Frank has a roving microphone, so if you have something that you would like to say and share this morning, if you just raise your hand so that Frank can see you out there. Frank, right over here.
I love him, I believe him. And I know that he's real. He's the love of God and the realness of God that really kept me. Not preaching, not church people, but God himself. You know, several years I've gone through circumstances, but I kept on going because I know that it is not by no preaching, nor nobody, because, like, for instance, some of the people who claim to be people of God, they would throw me off. I would not want to go to no church nor anything, but I know God. I was going on, and one night Jesus said to me, Sadie, what are you living for? Are you living for death? Or are you living for life? And I woke up same time and saw Jesus just disappear. And I said to myself, I had to see God. I had to live for him. And each time when I go to the circumstances, I said, I know God is able. And he answered my prayer several times. So there's no doubt that I'm serving the true and living God. And so many things. I didn't know where to start, but I'll just give you a little piece. And one morning, I don't know which to say, but I know one morning I was going to work, and I go down to the bus stop. Generally, the bus will park when we reach to our bus stop, so we walk, go to about the third bus stop. And while walking on the sidewalk, I saw this man. And he was coming with on his bicycle. He's going this way, Dolly, in Dolly. So I go this way, the man come and he back me. Until it was a great big highway too. And the man give me just lit me with the bicycle. And I look to myself, I should be the one who fall and go into the road like that. When I look in this, I saw the man go in the sky and the bicycle and him fall out in the road. But then I feel like a post that could not be moved. You know, when you bounce something and it's steady, that's how I felt. I said, thank you, Jesus, because I know it was the devil for me to get hit by the bicycle, and probably I would have died, I don't know. And I know several times that this Satan wanted to wipe me dead. But the last time in 2007, I could have been wiped off completely. None of you people know me because I would be dead. In my vision, the Lord said, keep a prayer meeting in your house. And it ran off about 3 weeks or so. And one evening I come off the road and I said, I feel so exhausted. I said, you know, I was talking to myself and I said, I got to keep this prayer meeting that I got, the Lord's prayer meeting. And just as I said to myself and sitting, my coach, a church brother, called me and he said, the Lord said, prayer meeting. And I just smiled because I know it's a confirmation. Anyway, I went to church it was a Thursday evening, sometime. I went to church the Sabbath. It would be fasting the Sunday. So I told him I need a prayer meeting, need of help, come and pray with me. And they said they couldn't come. I wanted the Monday, but they said they couldn't come. But Sunday, like today, Sabbath, tomorrow would be fasting. So I went to fasting. They said, okay, they will come. When I told them, they said they would come the Thursday. So I go to fasting Sunday, and immediately they'll come to my house and pray. The Thursday when I was supposed to do the prayer meeting, I was coming from work, but it was a little distant. I didn't have to take any vehicle, and I walk it. And I was going on the roadside. When I bucked something and I was pleading the blood of Jesus, until when I realized, I just heard this thing like a sound of a dynamite. It was a chuck that hit me in my head. And I don't know what was going on, but the man's gone to come out and say, you all right? Are you okay? I wouldn't even answer the man. I was just giving God praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And then he told me what happened. He was coming on at the same side where I was going. And then it was around a curve. And one was coming down, but he was coming out too far in the street because he was going around. But when he bucked, the car was coming, he swing to the bank that I was walking. And when he saw me now, he make another turn to hit me with the truck. And that's how I got hit by the truck, because it was just the mirror that hit me. But I heard this big sound. And I know God is real, because if it was a prayer, I would have get killed. The prayer that we prayed, and God was on the business, so I escaped.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for sharing.
God is good. Yeah, thank you for sharing. That is real. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Do we have one more? Oh, there we go. Well, let's give that as a praise and finish our service this morning. So, would you pray for me as we finish this morning? Father in heaven, thank you so much that you made us, that you love us, that you care for us, and that when we have stepped away from you, that you've provided a way back, that you will restore us to that original ideal that you made so long ago. And Lord, we pray that that day might be soon. Father, thank you so much for John and Sarah, Pastor John and Sarah, and we pray your safety on them, and that the delivery will go smoothly, and that they'll have a happy, healthy baby girl. Thank you so much, Lord, for all you do and your care for us. Go with us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.